Welcome to the Choose Life Radio Network. Your host is Jill Taylor. Every week we bring you a candid conversation with someone who's making a difference for the cause of life. And now here's Jill to introduce today's guest on Choose Life Radio.
Talking with a friend whose husband passed not long ago, I'm struck again by the fact that our lives are completely in your hands, God. And while we might plan our days, spend all of our time working and ignoring the needs of our family, God still is there. Our guest today is Greg King, and Greg is going to be vulnerable with you and me about what alcohol and perhaps drugs can do to ruin our marriage, our children, our careers, and our ability to make decisions that value our own lives, let alone the lives of those we deeply love. So welcome to Choose Life Radio. I am Jill Taylor, your host today, and our guest is in studio with us, and it's Greg King. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you, Jill. Pleased to be here.
I'm so grateful that you're here. Greg, give me and my listener a little background about you. How many kids in your family? Did your parents create a strong family? Or perhaps did they split and leave you and your siblings adrift? And then was there alcohol in your family as you were growing up?
I would say my background was extraordinarily average. I was astounded at how average it was. You know, my wife and I live in the average square foot house. We had two children, and which is kind of average. You know, we came from actually whole families. There was no splits in the family. There was no divorce. It's pretty normal American stuff. We thought we were just leading the normal American life. And I think a lot of people strive for that, feel comfort in leading the normal American life. Maybe that's a goal. I don't know. Maybe that is initially until you find out that there's some baggage with a normal American life and there's some hazards that you can fall into while you're chasing that dream, that the stuff that you see on television, the stuff that you hear on the radio, the stuff that you hear around the water cooler at work, that everybody is chasing after. You just think that's normal. I'm just doing what everybody else is doing.
And we're a nation of trying to achieve more and more stuff, more things, more degrees. And so consequently, less time for family sometimes.
I would say missed priorities as far as, and perspective. You lose perspective of what's truly important because you're chasing after that. You know, if I could give you a chronology of from the time I got married on, the money I chased and how little money I made the first year I was married, I think, working two jobs, I made $8,000, you know. I was not intimidated by that because I thought, I'm just going to work harder next year and I'm going to work more next year and we're going to succeed. Because you can do it here. We're in the land of America where you can succeed. So you strive for those things.
And Greg, I think our listener resonates with that because I'm sure they're not even thinking about the goal that that he's talking about had to do with when can I get more money? When can I get more money? When there are so many people that find themselves down the road and they're saying, if my husband could just be healed, if my daughter just hadn't been in that accident. You know, those are the things that really matter, but we don't start out that way. We start out thinking, we got to figure a way to get ahead.
Right. I mean, what is the world telling you? What are your goals? What are you here to achieve? I think initially, part of the problem, I would say from youth, is perspective. You don't have 60 years of living to look back on and say, whoa, was that a tragedy? What a mistake. Why was I doing that? You're 19, 20 years old, and you're thinking, wow, look what he's done, look what she's done, and I want to do that.
And I don't care how I have to get there.
Yeah.
Tell me about your marriage. I want to hear a little bit about your beautiful wife. She's gorgeous.
You are correct.
Thank you. I got that answer right, didn't I?
Yeah. Well, and she is beautiful on the outside, and she is even more beautiful on the inside. So I am doubly blessed.
So how did you meet each other?
My wife and I met on the swim team in high school,
Wait a minute. You started by seeing her in a bathing suit?
Yes.
Whoa, I love it. I've never heard that part of your story. That's really cool.
And you've probably never seen the picture I carry in my wallet of her that she gave me when she was 15 years old. But I'm still carrying that around 45 years later.
15 is pretty young to start dating and end up being really committed to each other.
Yeah, well, I don't think that was the goal. I don't think that was originally the goal, to be really committed, but I think things evolve. So, yeah, I was smitten, and I don't know if she was quite as smitten, but I was probably goal-oriented,
yeah.
And I thought, wow, yeah, there's a beautiful blonde girl with a sweetheart, and I love her.
Your family loved her?
My family loved her, yeah.
And her family loved you?
They tolerated me. They
tolerated me. That's always the case, isn't it? That the family of the woman is always going, wait a minute, don't get so close. We want to be sure. And 15 is a pretty young age to start being attracted to someone.
It was the 70s.
Okay. Well, then does that not that says it for all of our audience. They totally understand now. So I hope you can share a little bit about where alcohol came in, because I want to know where that played a role for you.
Well, that's interesting, because that's part of an evolution. Actually, I'll give you a backup step.
Okay.
When we were intending on getting married, I did not drink, had never drank, came from a family that never drank. She came from a family that did have alcohol in it, and her parents couldn't imagine a wedding without drinking. And so there was a lot of conflict over that. Yeah, so I was that non-drinking kid. That was another issue, problem with me, I guess, from their perspective. But that's how I came into it. I didn't drink, didn't want to drink, didn't have any interest in it. But we're married, eventually decide to try this thing out. You know, I'm going to have a drink and see how this works. I don't know. I would say I was in my early 20, that was probably 23 or 24 before I had a drink. I don't think anybody says, I'm going to have a drink and I'm going to become an alcoholic. I've seen people like that, and I'm not going to be like that because I'm going to be under control. I don't think anybody wakes up and says, yeah, that's what I want to be, that Skid Row bum laying out there in the gutter. Nobody says that, and nobody perceives that they're going to fall into that. But as life goes on, it becomes more and more part of the social atmosphere. And as I grew in social relationships and business, it was almost an expected part of a business meeting is to have a few drinks with,
right.
people.
And kind of entertaining people.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And alcohol went with that sometimes, yeah?
Yeah, it was just an expectation there. So like I said, and I think the individual's thought is, I'm never going to succumb to that. I'm never going to fall into that problem. I can remember being 16 years old and having a scrubboard stomach and looking, you know, at my, you know, 35-year-old, somewhat pudgy father and thinking, I'm never going to be that guy. I'm always going to be young and strong and healthy. I'm never going to get slow and pudgy.
Talk a little bit about what you do.
I'm an insurance agent. I actually worked in a family business. My parents started in the 50s and worked with my parents for many, many decades.
And your parents weren't drinkers?
We're not drinkers, no.
So as they were planning to transfer this business and over to you, did they make comments at all about whether you were going to be able to do this?
That was not a concern. And to be frank, even as my drinking spun out of control, I made sure it didn't affect me at work to the same degree that you would expect. Matter of fact, I can remember sitting at a bar with a couple of buddies who owned businesses, and we were drinking too much. And the comment came up, we're not like those drunks on the other side of the bar that can't make it to work in the morning. We're productive alcoholics. And that was a joke. You know, we're productive alcoholics. We make it to work every morning.
I'm afraid you may have given a term to people who are listening and saying, oh, that's what we are. We're productive alcoholics. Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, it was a,
obviously,
yeah, it was a very bad thing. Yeah,
it was
very
a joke. Bad I time. Get it. I mean, in sense of where you really were, where you were really going. And I think that that is interesting. Sin, or not being able to control something in our lives, it gets worse, it gets stronger, it gets more needed, it takes more of the audience of your lives. And all of a sudden, you're saying, well, how did I get here? How did I get here?
Yeah. You don't wake again. Not only do you wake up and never intend on being an alcoholic, you never think you will be a slave to that. You say, I'm not going to be a slave. I see that guy, he can't get to work in the morning. He's a mess. You're always comparing yourself to someone that's doing it a little worse.
Okay, so your business is going well. Your marriage is going well. And you're recognizing that part of your success is that you can stand up with a guy with a drink in your hand and it makes a comfortable conversation. I want to talk about that as soon as we take a quick break, because I want to say a few things as our listener is in tune with us. I'm fascinated with this story that we're sharing with you today, listener, because I came from a family that, boy, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my father talked an awful lot about the things that we were not to get involved with and the warnings of that. And then I married a man who said, his parents said absolutely no alcohol. And we have watched others live and wondered if we, in a way, have betrayed our family by even taking glasses of wine occasionally. And I want you to think about this, listener. I want you to think, one of the things that really impacts this discussion today is that sometimes you take one drink and that's it. You will never stop drinking. There are some people just geared that way. So I want to recommend, as we listen in to the heart of what Greg is saying to us, I just ask that you will literally pray. Ask God to talk to you about what you want to do with your family. We're going to take a quick break and come right back on Choose Life Radio.
Choose Life Radio believes that life is a sacred gift from God and should be treated as such, from conception to natural death. Our purpose is to share in-depth conversations with persons who have a direct connection to the life issue. Your gift today, whatever the size, will help us continue to expand the reach of these life-affirming conversations. You can give generously online by visiting ChooseLifeRadio.com. Or you can mail your gift to Choose Life Radio, Post Office Box 36622, Canton, Ohio 44735. That address is also posted at ChooseLifeRadio.com. Now let's get back to the conversation.
We are so grateful to have you listening right here at Choose Life Radio, and we never want you to miss any of our interviews. This is one of my favorites. I want to say first and foremost that I'm so grateful for your presence today, listener. Thank you for the reason that we bring these stories to be aired. You are it. We believe at various points you will connect with what we are hearing, and also that you will realize many of our guests have hit rock bottom. Yet when they looked up, God was still there for them. And when God created you for good, He knew Satan would try his best to trip you up. You might be hearing this program for the first time, or perhaps you have journeyed with us these past 3 years. Either way, I know God loves you, and as we step into our conversation with Greg King, I think about the name King. We worship a King who sent His Son, who came to rescue us. So thank you for your support of Choose Life Radio, for your gifts to keep us going. They can be directed to our website, ChooseLifeRadio.com, or you can send them to our post box at Choose Life Radio, P.O. Box 36622, Canton, Ohio 44735. That's Post Office Box 36622, Canton, Ohio 44735. And the website again is ChooseLifeRadio.com. I want to connect again with our guest, Greg King. Greg, do you realize how close you came to dying because of alcohol?
Yeah. I've actually got friends who are physicians that have played that out to me pretty well. And I guess really to give you a full version of that, I better give another portion of the story.
Okay.
Probably 20-some years ago, I had a fusion in my lower back. And after that, my doctor recommended I start pain management and recommended that I go to the pain management doctor. And so I was on pain management with a vengeance. And I later found out that the pain management doctor was the largest prescriber of narcotics in the state of Ohio. He also conveniently had a pharmacy that he owned right outside of the door of his office. So he had quite a business plan. But before I knew it, I was ingesting 60 milligrams of Percocet a day with a fentanyl patch before anybody knew what fentanyl was. It was not heard of on the street. But that would stop you from breathing. And I was washing those down at night with a half a liter of vodka and a couple of Ambien sleeping pills. Again, giving that description of what I was doing to physicians, they said, oh, you can't do that. You can't breathe. You'll stop breathing. Well, in fact, I would routinely stop breathing and wake up gulping for air. As a matter of fact, as I was doing that, and that was my daily and my nightly mix of drugs and alcohol to help me get to sleep, I would comment and joke about it. It's my Jimi Hendrix special, because we know the story that Jimi Hendrix did not survive from something like that. And I laughed at it. So even while I was doing it, I knew I was on the razor's edge of death every night. And I continued to do that for years.
You know, it's so interesting because I'd like to ask you a question that says, hey, did you know how on the edge you were? Did you think you were impervious to being harmed? But you couldn't not know what was going on when you were living that and blocking out everything that happened the night before. You can't remember it. So did you have in some sort of way a death wish?
Without a doubt. I didn't care. You know, at that point, I didn't care if I woke up or not. Yeah. So you're that despondent and you're that self-absorbed. And I was smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day at that point. So
you couldn't breathe anyway.
Yeah, I was. I would say if you describe someone with a compulsive, addictive personality, I was a poster child.
So share with me and our listener, who is just probably as deeply disturbed as I am inside. I'm just, my heart's breaking for you. How did God really get your attention?
Well, at that point, life was spinning out of control. My wife was very tired of being married to a drunk. I can remember my children, adult children in college years, did not want to be in the same room with that guy who had the critical, belittling, angry attitude all the time. Not only did my family not want to be around me, it was easy for me to look in the mirror and say, wow, I don't even like to be around me. So that's a new step, you know, when you're tired, when you're so sick of yourself, you're just sick of it. How does that resolve? How do things resolve after that? You talk about people that hit rock bottom. Well, I can tell you, I hit rock bottom. And I've had somebody tell me, you know, that rock you hit when you hit rock bottom, that rock's God. And that's a beautiful thing.
And it's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
For that.
Yeah. It hurts, too. It hurts. I mean, it hurts to hit rock bottom and understand that God was there all along, would have held you with beauty, would have held you with all the wonderful things that you had, the attributes, the intelligence, all the things that you had to offer, That's how he made you. And so when we go to what we're going to call rock bottom, we like don't even care about those other things, but those are all the beautiful things that God put into you. And so it may hurt to get smacked at the bottom by God's catching you. And the reality is something's got to awaken you. He did not want you to die that way.
I think, Jill, you've got to come to the end of yourself. You've got to be to the end of yourself. You've got to just see what a mess you've made of things. My whole life, my business life, I was a guy that fixed things for people. People came to me with their problems. I got resolution. I fixed it. And yet there I was in my own trouble, unable to fix it. So I can tell you what I did, Jill. At 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting on the front steps of my house, smoking my cigarette, looking out in my empty front yard in the dark, I did something that I was more afraid of than dying and everything else. Something I'd thought about. I had always been taught to pick myself up by my bootstraps and work harder and put my shoulder to it. But don't ask for help. You don't ask for help because that's weakness. That's just the mantra my family grew up with. You don't ask for help. You do it yourself. And so I'd been thinking about asking for help, and it terrified me. And so there I'm sitting, and I think, I can't carry this load for another second. And I look to the skies and throw up my hands, and I said, you win. I quit. I can't do this. I'm not a savior. I can't help others. I can't help myself. I need a savior. Jesus, help me. And I thought that would be the most weak thing I could do, and yet I felt a burst of strength like I've never felt. I felt the hand of God. I felt, my goodness, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I call out before? Well, I felt a million pounds weight come off my back.
Greg, I am so proud of you to be here with us today, to share this story, to share it with all the healing that's taken place. You can still feel the pain of what you lost during that time. And certainly, if our listener isn't crying, you are not connected to me in any way. My tears are really strong right now. We've been talking with Greg King. He's a man who he's claimed by God. He's a king among men. While he might still shy from that description, I want you to know, sweet listener, he has brought a kingly story to us today. He has shared that no matter how out of it we might be, God does not give up on us. Let me say that again. I want you to hear it. God does not give up on us. So I'd love to hear from you, sweet listener. I'd love to know what you need as you've listened to Choose Life Radio. You can do that by going to ChooseLifeRadio.com. Share with me your comments about this interview, or maybe tell me that you shared it with someone and how that worked out. It's really an important thing. When you get a story that's as raw and as vulnerable as what you've heard today from Greg, I want you to wrap that gift that you have and carry it carefully for someone else to open it. It's not meant just for your ears if this isn't something that impacts you. It's meant for someone you know who desperately needs that. And remember, we have a tremendous responsibility to share Jesus Christ with all of this. Others who might not know him, you can go to billygraham.org to get a booklet that will literally help you share Christ. Right out of the gate, you'll see that God's word calls us to always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give that reason for the hope that you might have. That'd be 1 Peter 3:15. You can share that verse with a friend near you. There are people who are hoping you will give them what they need out of God's word. And so I challenge you. I challenge you to share this interview with someone who is heading to an early death because of alcohol, someone who's playing around with drugs, maybe your own child who is trying to avoid connecting with you on the fact that he's hooked, she's hooked. And if you'd like to be in contact with me, I love to get letters from you, and I'm really grateful for those who send checks in the mail to us to help us continue with this ministry. You can go to P.O. Box 36622, Canton, Ohio, 44735, and that's where you'll be able to send a note to me. You can also email me directly at jill@chooseliferadio.com. I love to receive your emails. As a matter of fact, I cherish the things that I get to read from you, and I hope that you'll continue to let me know what you liked, what you didn't like, or what you didn't understand. I'm okay with that. Looking forward to continuing friendships with you on ChooseLiferadio.com. And I look forward to being with you next week with our guest, Greg, and his wife, Michelle, to share even more of their story right here on Choose Life Radio.
The preceding program was sponsored by the Choose Life Radio Network of Canton, Ohio.